McClellan resented Halleck's appointment, but Lincoln hoped it would relieve McClellan of onerous duties supervising the army, and Halleck would be the key to victory. McClellan, Lincoln concluded, would never fight. He would just keep asking for reinforcements. The president told Halleck he could keep or fire the Army of the Potomac commander as he saw fit. Halleck, however, proved to be slow to move and aggressive only in his writings. As general-in-chief, he had more authority than he had the courage to use. Any important decision, he believed, must be cleared first with Lincoln, who had sacked other commanders for ignoring his wishes, which made it impossible for Halleck to act at all, and meant that Lincoln was forced to remain as de facto general-in-chief. On July 25th, Halleck visited McClellan's headquarters to discuss the future of his army. McClellan's count of the number of rebel troops he now faced made Halleck's head spin. The Army of the Potomac commander had earlier estimated that casualties from the 7 days' battles had reduced the effective strength of Lee's army to 150,000. By the time Halleck arrived at Harrison's Landing, McClellan had raised the enemy number to 200,000, an even wilder overestimate that presumed Halleck to be gullible enough to believe that in just weeks, Lee had miraculously increased his force by 50,000 men. After some haggling, McClellan agreed to advance up the north bank of the James River and attack Richmond if Washington gave him 30,000 more men to add to the 90,000 he now claimed he had at Harrison's Landing. Halleck, who concluded after his meeting with McClellan that the man does not understand strategy and should never plan a campaign, would provide only 20,000 Union troops. And that offer came with an ultimatum. McClellan must advance on Richmond with the 110,000 he would now have, or abandon the Peninsula campaign entirely and bring his army back north. McClellan agreed. His campaign was saved, but only for 24 hours.